All right, so this afternoon, if you would, please open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 4. I will soon be going also to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you'd like to have that at the ready also. Last week, we completed our study of chapters 1 through 3 of this John's book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which covered the first vision that John was given there while he was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he was sent, as he put it, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That first vision was, in fact, of the risen and glorified Lord Jesus himself, who appeared to John while he was worshiping there on the Lord's Day. And Lord Jesus gave John instructions to write seven letters to those seven churches of Asia Minor. Churches that John had probably ministered to prior to his exile, that had at the time of John's writing, in the early 90s AD, had by then fallen into various states of declension, sin, idolatry. With one church, the church at Sardis, being a dead church filled with make-believers and fake believers and unbelievers who called themselves Christian, while only a few at that church were truly saved. Jesus said, you have a few there who have not sold their garment. They'll walk with me in white. And then coming now to chapter 4 of the book, we see that John is then translated, basically, in the spirit from Patmos directly into the throne room of heaven itself, whereupon he's given a whole new section of revelations and visions. We read in Revelation 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. John says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. This vision is in various aspects very similar to earlier visions given to the Apostle Paul and to the Old Testament prophets Daniel and Ezekiel, which we'll come back to after we focus in first on verse 1. Where John says, first, after this, in other words, after being given the instructions in chapters 2 to 3 to write to those seven churches, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, and of course, that refers us back to chapter 1 and verse 10, where John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That trumpet voice was, of course, the Lord Jesus himself. Here, that voice said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. The first thing we have to do in coming to this verse is actually dispel the popular myth and the gross misinterpretation of this verse. It's very common, which holds that the Apostle John here is representative of the entire so-called universal church, and that this translation of John to the throne room in heaven signifies the pre-tribulational rapture and translation of the church. This relatively recent misconception, misinterpretation, was of course first popularized by the publication of the Scofield Study Bible in 1909, which has only one note at this verse. Come up hither, Scofield writes, this call seems clearly to indicate the fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 17. That statement is, of course, highly conclusory. In other words, it's a dogmatic statement that jumps to a conclusion that first and foremost does not at all arise from the text itself. Let me repeat what Scofield said. This call seems clearly to indicate the fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 17. Well, I'd point out that there is nothing in this text anywhere that gives any remote indication of the fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 17, where Paul says as follows, starting in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about those who had died in Christ, gone on to be with the Lord, He says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Paul says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to notice here the absolute gross absurdity of Scofield's statement that Christ called to John to come up hither through that open door that John saw in heaven. Quote, seems clearly to indicate the fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Christ is descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and trump of God that was no doubt to be heard by all, while bringing the spirits of departed saints with him to be united with a resurrected, glorified body, spiritual body, while those saints still alive are instantaneously transformed in the twinkling of an eye, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and also given a brand new, glorified, spiritual bodies, specially suited for eternal life in heaven with our Lord. None of that happens here at Revelation 4, verse 1. The Lord is not descending here. He's not bringing saints with him. He's saying, John, you come up here. It's absurd to make this conclusory statement. None of that happens here. There's no trump of God. Christ is not descending, etc. There's nothing in this verse or in the context anywhere that gives any remote indication here of fulfillment of this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4. And further, Scofield's conclusion is not at all proven by what he says next, which is, quote, the word church does not again occur in Revelation till all is fulfilled. That is the entirety of Scofield's note at this verse. That's the only argument he gives that the rapture of the church is seen here at this verse. Well, it's true that the word church is not seen again until chapter 22. Not even, by the way, in reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is about the first gathering of Christ's church. Doesn't mention church there either in chapter 19 and 20. But the absence of that word church throughout the remainder of the book in no way proves that the rapture has occurred here at Revelation 4, verse 1. By the way, that word church is also not found in the books of 2 Timothy, Titus, 2 Peter, 1 or 2 John, or Jude. But those books are all written to and about the church. The book of Jude doesn't mention the church by name, but uses the word saints to refer to the church, to Christ's New Testament saints in verses 3 and 14 of Jude, just as the Apostle John does 12 times throughout the remainder of the Revelation, chapters 5 through 19, during the time of tribulation. He uses that word saints to those saints still on the earth after this time and before, and during the tribulation before Christ comes. And we read in Revelation 6, verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? We read there, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. This is the fifth seal, Revelation chapter 6. And they still have, these souls, these saints in heaven, still have fellow servants on the earth who still needed to be killed as they were, still need to be martyred on the earth. So here we have Christ's saints, New Testament saints, still on the earth. Revelation 6, the fifth seal. Revelation 13, verse 7. We read about the Antichrist. It was given unto him, the Antichrist, to make war with the saints. The saints still on the earth. To overcome them, the power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We see there, Christ's saints still on the earth. Revelation 13, verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. John says, here is the patience and faith of the saints. Why? Because they're still on the earth, going through all this tribulation and this persecution, being martyred. In chapter 14, after we read of the eternal damnation of those who take the mark of the beast, we then read in verse 12 Revelation 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That means they're Christians. They're on the earth being suffering through the tribulation. He says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. They're still laboring, they're still on the earth. Revelation 14, 12. Throughout the book of Revelation, we see saints of God suffering, being martyred for keeping the faith of Jesus, which is why we also read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. John says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. We then read in verse 14, John is told who these people are. He's told that these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are Christians who came out of the great tribulation. So not only is there nothing in the context of Revelation 4, verse 1, that gives any remote indication of the fulfillment of the rapture at that point. And not only is it entirely irrelevant that the word church does not occur in the book again until chapter 22, since the saints of God are seen on the earth all through that time of tribulation that follows in the book. But furthermore, Scofield's conclusion here is absolutely and instantly disproven by many scriptures throughout the New Testament, proving that there will be no pre-trib rapture. From Paul's clear teaching in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that our gathering together to Christ will not take place until after that man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed to the world. From that passage back to Christ's statement in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, that immediately after the tribulation of those days shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. That, in fact, that is the teaching of our Lord to which Scofield's note at Revelation 4, verse 1 would apply. That does seem to clearly indicate the fulfillment of the rapture, where Christ is sending his angels to gather his saints both from heaven and earth. And that takes place immediately after the tribulation of those days. But that note can certainly not apply to Revelation 4, verse 1. And by the way, that note of Scofield is typical of the horrible exegesis and imaginative manipulation of this text and many others that was required for Scofield to force his dispensational system and his agenda, his Zionist agenda of a separate kingdom for the Jews, force that onto, into, and upon the Word of God. And yet, despite all this, the vast majority of apostate pop Christianity today insists on clinging to this horrible exegesis and the false hope of a pre-trib rapture, which pre-tribbers always insist is seen at this verse. They have to, because there's nowhere else for them to find one. There's nowhere else in the book prior to the tribulation that follows in chapter 6 for them to stealthily slide it into the text. So they do it here. I could spend all day on this topic. I'm not going to do that. As mentioned last time, we've been all over this ground in several messages, and I won't do that today other than to once more encourage any or all who are listening to this message online and still looking foolishly for a pre-trib rapture to please carefully study our webpage we have devoted to this topic, disproving the pre-trib rapture hoax. The conclusion at this verse, Revelation 4, verse 1, is very simply that Christ's statement at this verse for John to come up hither when John saw that open door in heaven was to John alone, who does not signify or symbolize the entire church at this verse, and who was told to come up hither specifically and only to receive additional revelations that he would be repeatedly told to write down for us to read about. Revelation 4, verse 1 has nothing to do with the rapture. So let's move on from that verse. Just wanted to cover that real quickly. Revelation 4, verse 1, after this I looked, behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither.